Come on, give the Lord a thank you. Come on, bless his name. Bless his name, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Certainly we thank God for this is the day that the Lord has made. We are to rejoice and be glad in it. God has been good to us. He is good to us more than we deserve. And certainly we thank him for navigating our niches and allowing us the privilege of being participatory and present in this place once again. It's good to be alive. It's good to be active. It's good to be alert. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Thank God for the sacrifice he made in giving his son, for this is such a celebratory day. This is the summit, the pinnacle of our Christian faith. We call it Easter, some call it Resurrection Sunday. But this is the Sunday that we mark to celebrate Christ's resurrection. He's not dead. He's alive. Look at somebody, if you will, and say, I don't serve a dead Savior. My Savior is alive and well. How do you know? Because he's alive on the inside of me. Amen. Somebody know he'll make you run. Ain't nobody behind you. He'll make you laugh. Ain't nothing funny. He'll make you cry. Nothing wrong with you. It's good to be saved. It's good to be saved. Amen. I'm on my way somewhere. Amen. It's good to be saved. It's good to know him for yourself. Certainly we thank God for allowing us the privilege of being in here again. Certainly to our junior deacons who have devoted us, our junior ushers. Certainly we thank God for them and their service to set us orderly. What a grand and gorgeous day it's been. Amen. Had early service at 6. Had our children's program at 9. We ate good breakfast. I ate too good. I got sleepy. Amen. That's the danger of eating between services. It'll put you in a food coma. Amen. Thank you, Sister Jessica, and the kitchen committee had a good breakfast. Certainly we thank God for these preachers and Pastor Emeritus Walker, Reverend Woods, and Reverend McCoy, Reverend Van, and early we had Reverend May, Reverend Mims. I see some faces that I haven't seen in a while. Sister Pippin, if you can stand, will you stand? Amen. She's recovering. Amen. God bless you then, Sister Larry. Amen. So good to see you. If you can stand. Amen. Sister Jones, where did she go? Sister Jones that just sang that song. Amen. Good to see you. Good to see you. Amen. Do we have any others that have had a surgery or recovered and they are here for the first time for quite some time now? Amen. Amen. John chapter 11. Happy belated birthday to Mother Walker. She's such a wonderful soul. And had a wonderful time with her on Zoom. And she capped off our Lent season devotions with prayer. And certainly 85 and standing straight up. And he goes 87 and standing straight up. My God. Amen. They know how old you are. Like y'all don't know his age. Y'all already know his age. Y'all have given him some birthday celebrations, haven't you? Amen. You know, you get in these 80s. Get in the 80s and don't want nobody to know how old you are. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be your age. Amen. Amen. So thank God for you. Thank God for your support. I can't say it enough. Such an embrace. We have transitioned over here and feel received. And certainly thank God for Pastor Meredith Walker and Sister Walker. I pray y'all live a long time. Pray y'all live a long time. Let me tell you this, and I'm going to go on and preach. He told me when I first got here, he says, boy, I don't want to be a hair in your way. And I said, no, you won't be in my way. I said, man, it's going to take both of us double teaming these folk. Amen. I pastored before I got over here, and I know how it is. So I thank God for his presence. And I thank God for his sincerity and certain support of his lovely wife. We love you. Yeah, we love you. Amen. Didn't our children do a great job this morning? Amen. Come on. Amen. I enjoyed the speeches and the play. I enjoyed everything, the songs. Amen. It's time for us to get back. And do it at a high fashion with the spirit of excellence. It's time to do it with all our might. Now, don't you let anything be an excuse for you. And allow that to get in the way or excuse you from serving God with all of your might. Amen. I'm glad we back. I'm glad the pandemic has been declared over. And we back. Let me hear you say, we back. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad to be back. All right, here it is, John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Believe thou this? That's a question. Never die. I have eternal life because I believe in Jesus Christ. He came to give me eternal life. That I don't have an expiration date. That eternal life is now and it carries me over into the pleasantry of his presence. That I'm not living eternal life when I get to heaven. I'm going to live it before. I got it now. Look at somebody and say, I got it now. I got it now. Come on, help me preach. Look at him and tell him, I got it now. I got it now. Jesus Christ, the resurrection. Jesus Christ, the resurrection. It was Jesus' friend, Lazarus of Bethany. He fell sick, and his sisters sent a messenger to Jesus to tell him of his friend's illness. It was not simply sickness. For Lazarus was at the point of death. They sent a messenger to Jesus, your friend, the one whom you love, is sick to the point of death, and we need you to come quickly. Because if you don't come, you may not get a chance to see your friend Lazarus again. He's dying. Jesus, when he got the word from the messenger, he began to converse with his disciples. And the messenger heard Jesus' conversation with his disciples. Jesus said to his disciple, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Evidently, the messenger went back to Mary and Martha and communicated to them what Jesus had shared with his disciples and with him. But the text says, shortly after, Lazarus died. He passed away. He experienced death, and his death was followed by his burial. It was 4 days of mourning, and it had passed. And at the last, Jesus made his way to Bethany. When Jesus was nearing the city of Bethany, word came to Mary and Martha. And Martha got up and she went out to meet Jesus. She wanted to share with Jesus her feelings. She wanted him to know how she felt, because they were friends. "Jesus, I sent your word that my brother was ill, he was low, and he was dying. And you had the audacity to stall, to put your friends on hold. You didn't come immediately. You waited a few more days. I'm here to tell you that Lazarus is dead, and Lazarus has been buried." And Jesus says, "You don't know who you're talking to. Because if you knew who you were talking to, you wouldn't have this kind of tone with me. You don't know who you're talking to." He says that Lazarus shall be raised from the dead. And she said, "Yeah, I know he's going to be raised from the dead in the resurrection." But Jesus said, "You don't know that you're looking at the resurrection." Somebody here ought to be a witness that Jesus is the resurrection. I'm going to get him up, because life and death is in the power of my tongue. It's in my hands. I'm God made flesh. I'm God who is Emmanuel, tabernacling among the human predicament for just a short while. I'm God. I'm the Word wrapped in flesh. You don't know who you're talking to. And there it is, Jesus. He says, "I'm the resurrection." In the Greek, it means to rise, to stand on the feet again, as opposed to falling and failing. It means a rising of the body from the grave. Jesus is the resurrection in every sense of the word. In other words, Jesus is the one who causes men to rise and stand on their feet again. He keeps us from falling. Jude said in Jude 24, "Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." that it is Jesus who keeps us on our feet and keeps us from falling, keeps us from failing. I wish I could convince you that in Christ you can't lose. In Christ you can't come up short. In Christ you cannot fail. I wish I could convince you of that. I wish I could convince you that you have everything you need in Jesus. Oh, how I wish I could get it in your mind, if I could just get it out of my mouth, that we cannot fail in Christ because he is the resurrection. Not only does Jesus keep us on our feet, but he also, he's the one who will raise us up from the dead. It is John chapter 5, verses 25 through 29 that say, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of God. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." That every soul is going to get up at his voice. He's the resurrection. It is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 16. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." He's the resurrection. He keeps us from failing. He keeps us on our feet. And one day he will raise us from the dead. Jesus went on into Bethany with Martha, went in the house where Mary was. Mary now is not much of a talker because she's hurting. She's surrounded by Jews who's mourning the death of Lazarus, because it was their tradition that no family would mourn alone. So they had professional mourners to come in out of the community, and they would weep with them if they wept, and they would rejoice with them if they rejoiced. They knew how to identify, how to be empathetic with the mourning, bereaved family. Mourners around Jesus' enemies, because you know the Jews didn't like Jesus. So enemies in the house with his dear friends, Mary and Martha, and they are helping them mourn. And Jesus said, as Mary finally began to talk, he says, "Show me where you laid him. Take me to his grave. Take me to the cemetery. Take me to the hillside where the graves are carved into the side of the hill. Take me to the place of the dead." He went to the grave And the first thing he did was commanded the stone be removed. Remove the stone from the entrance of the grave. Now, the grave, again, is carved in the hillside. That's the description. And a stone was laid at the mouth of the tomb to keep the stench from coming out of the grave. You know, Lazarus had been dead now for 4 days, and with that Middle Eastern heat, extreme heat, his body began to decompose. Take me to the grave. Remove the stone. Now, he gave command to the men because man has a duty. Man has a responsibility that if you're going to experience the resurrection power of the Lord, then there is a condition. And the condition is obedience. He commanded the removal of the stone. And it suggests that where human power is sufficient, divine power will not be put forth. In other words, Jesus won't do for you what he knows you can do for yourself. He commands you to do what you can do. And when you get to the end of your rope, then he comes in and takes you the rest of the way. See, the reason some of you are not blessed as you should be blessed because you think Jesus is going to do it all. Wake you up in the morning. You think he's going to get you dressed. You think he's going to put the key in your car and chauffeur you to church. And then once you get here, you think he's going to bring you and wheel you in. He's not going to do it all. Listen, where human strength is sufficient, divine power will not be put forth. He says, remove the stone. Now, he could have spoke to the stone and removed the stone. But instead, he said to the men, remove the stone. Take away the stone. And the command was evidently given to convince the spectators of Lazarus' death. He's dead. He's not in a coma. He's dead. There's some pent-up odor of decomposition. He's dead. Remove the stone. Remove what's separating me from Lazarus. Regardless of the stench. Regardless of his condition. You want to see a miracle? You're going to have to deal with some stench. And you're going to have to deal with some conditions. Oh, if you want God's hand to rest mighty upon your life, you're going to have to deal with some stench and some conditions. He says, remove the stone. And when they removed the stone, Jesus prayed to his Father. So he spoke to his Father first. Because there were spectators who didn't believe. He is the resurrection. So he prays unto the Father. And then he speaks to Lazarus. He speaks to Lazarus. It's a piercing call. That he's not only speaking to Lazarus in the grave, but he's speaking to Lazarus who has now found himself in Hades or Sheol, the place of the dead. his soul had went to the place of the dead, his body in the grave, but his soul had went to Hades or Sheol. He calls him, and Jesus' call pierces through time and enters into Sheol or Hades, and Lazarus hear his name called. Now, I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help us, because there's no place you can go where Jesus' voice can't reach. Oh, I got happy with that one all by myself. There's no place you can go where his voice can't reach. I don't care what crack or cranny you find yourself in. I don't care how low you go. His voice can reach you. He's in the underworld and he hears the voice of the Lord. Lazarus, come forth. Come forth, come forth. And Lazarus, his soul reunited with his body, and he came stumbling out of the grave, stumbling, face wrapped up, mummy like he has on grave clothes. Jesus called him out of the grave, called him out of Sheol, called him out of Hades, and his soul has reunited with his body, and he comes stumbling out of the grave. He comes walking toward the voice of the Lord. And here's the last saying. Jesus said to the men, remove the grave clothes. See, when he calls a person out of the grave, he removes from the person everything that's associated with death. He don't need the clothes anymore because he's alive. He doesn't need the clothes anymore because he's not dead. See, a person don't need grave clothes while they are alive. Listen, Lazarus was freed from the restrictions of grave clothes. And I thank God that that's what he has done for us, because we were dead in trespasses and sin. But he has removed from us what's associated with death and the grave. Do I have anybody here who knows that he will remove the grave clothes from you when you're born again, when you are blood bought, when you are a child of God? Is there anybody here that thank God for removing the stuff that held you bound? Is there anybody here that thank God that you are not bound up in old bondages, that you are not bound up in old arguments, you're not bound up in old sins, in old habits and old emotional responses, and you are not bound up in old lies? Thank God that Jesus is the resurrection, that he will keep you from failing, and he will keep you on your feet. He'll keep you in your time of transition. He will take you from earth to glory. He'll take you into the divine presence of his Father. Is there anybody here who thank God for Jesus? If you thank God for Jesus, and if you got any celebration in your heart on this most celebratory day, why don't you stand up on your feet and slip your hand
in your neighbor's hand and said, neighbor, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. He's good to me, better to me than I've been to myself when I was on my way to a devil's hell. He stopped me in my tracks, picked me up, and turned my life around. And every chance I get, I want to tell him thank you for resurrecting my life. Thank you for keeping me on my feet. I get weak sometimes and I feel like I'm going to stumble, but I'm still on my feet because he keeps me from falling. I thank God for keeping me. High five your neighbor one more time and said, neighbor, Jesus is my kinsman redeemer. Jesus is my way out of no way. Jesus is my horse pawing in the valley. Jesus is my rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's my big brother who stick it closer than a friend. Thank God for Jesus. If you know him, why don't you call his name? Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noonday, Jesus in the evening, Jesus at night. Let me tell you why I praise him and how I know he's the resurrection. Because one Friday, he died on Calvary. They thought that was the end of the story. But early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. Ain't he good? Ain't he all right? If you know he is, let me hear you say, yeah, 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 yeah.
He got up with all power in his hands. And because he lives, I can live. And I can face tomorrow. He's going to call all of us by name. And we'll hear his voice. And our souls will reunite with our bodies. And our bodies will be new. All of the human sentimentalities, all of the human desires be gone. And we'll go live with the Lord for all eternity. Listen, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. Come on, come on, the doors. If you're here and you're not saved, if you can simply believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a church family, a faith family, come on, come on. Bless your daughter, bless your baby. Come on, come on, come on, come on the doors. Thirdly, if you're here, you need to be restored. You walked away from the Lord, but he's exactly where you left him. He will restore you. Come today. Come. Listen to this. Like you and me, that's love. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Don't you procrastinate. Come on. Salvation. Family of faith. Restoration. Come on.
But I'm gonna hold it in. It's so good to see Pastor Walker, and it's so good to see Sister Walker. But it's really good to hear my brother William play. that in itself is enough to make me shout. He has been inviting me to come. So just to hear him play is just enough to in itself to make me shout. But above all, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for bringing me back here. So I just look forward to coming back here to worship.
Amen. We have orientation. Will you be a part of orientation class at 9:20? All right. Four classes, Sister Woods and Sister Oliver, they are teachers. And what it is just to assimilate you into doctrine and all of that, and help you and encourage you and to build you. So Sunday mornings, and then hopefully, preferably, you'll be assimilated into the Sunday school where you can learn and be nurtured up in the way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Will you do that? I said, will you do that? Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Pray for you in just a minute. Let me hold right here. Amen.
Pastor Rogers, we have Jekiah Hatcher, a candidate for baptism.
Amen. Amen. That means that you want to accept Jesus Christ in your heart as personal Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
All right. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe he died on the cross of Calvary for your sin?
Yes, sir.
Do you believe God raised him from the dead?
Yes, sir.
Now I want you to say, Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Take up residence.
Take up residence.
Live in me.
Live in me.
Order me.
Take control of me. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Forgive all of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Lord, this is the first day of the rest of our life with you. We pray, Lord, that you build her up. You bless her and make her strong. Lord, that she can be a witness of yours in these last and evil days. Lord, bless her mother. Bless her family. Keep them together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Next Sunday, we will baptize, okay? I want you to be in orientation too, okay? Bring an orientation at 9:20. We're depending on you, Mama. All right? All right. Amen. Go in peace. Pretty little baby. Come on. Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. Bless you. Amen. Evidence of his resurrection. Jesus is alive and well. All hearts and minds clear. Let us stand. Everybody sing amen. Everybody sing. Everybody sing. Amen. Sing it over. Amen. Sing it over. Sing it over. Let the women sing. Let the women sing. Amen. Amen. Let the men sing. Let the men sing. Let the men sing. the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, amen. Love your life, live on top. You have no place at the bottom. Happy Resurrection Sunday to you.